Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. I know we've got a lot of folks that are out for various reasons. Of course, many of them are traveling, as has been said. And we just put them all in the Lord's hands. Looks like we're going to have a shorter than usual service this morning, but that's all right, as long as the Lord's here. I appreciate His faithfulness this morning. He's certainly worthy of all the praise that we can give Him. I've had some thoughts this morning, and it seems like most of the time we're dealing with something that is familiar, and yet there's a need for a deeper look at it. And that's the case today. I want to go to a scripture that we've used many times, but I feel like the Lord has opened up some things that are part of this passage, but also very much related to the things the Lord's been showing us. And the passage is in Philippians chapter 3. Paul was a servant of God who'd raised up this church, been used to raise up this church of believers. At this point, he's in prison, has been in prison for a long time, has had a rough time, but he's writing to encourage them. Wouldn't it be nice if we could focus on encouraging other people even when things are not going the way we'd like them? But anyway, if I had to, I'd go ahead and put a title on this right now, Living in the Moment. You know, even in the natural world, there's a whole lot of emphasis on that truth that, you know, we struggle if we're constantly out here somewhere instead of just focused on what's happening right in front of us. And there, even natural human beings many times will recognize that principle. But I believe there's something that the Lord desires for us. How many of you believe the Lord wants a degree of freedom that's greater than we've had? We all need it. And that's part of what the gospel is about, is setting us free. But it's not just free from, okay, my sins are gone, I'm going to heaven. There's a whole lot that we need to experience of that freedom in our everyday lives. And I won't go through all of this, but, you know, Paul is warning people, warning the believers there about false teachers. And the false teachers were trying to take them back under the law, and so he gives his own testimony. He said, I was the poster child for that religion. I had it all together. If you wanted to point to somebody, said, there's the guy that really shows forth what we're all about. And yet Paul reached a point where Jesus Christ supernaturally revealed himself to Paul's heart. And all of a sudden, he realized what everything that I have been living for has been a lie. That I could somehow qualify myself to be accepted by God. And now all of a sudden I see, not only was I not doing that, I was opposing with my whole being the very one who came to save me, came to make it possible that I could be accepted by God. What a complete 180 he went through in his life, didn't he? And so, the way he puts it, whatever things, verse 7 of chapter 3, but whatever were gains to me, now he's looking at his religion. I thought this was, you know, good and all of that. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. Now, why does he do that? For the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth, the value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Interesting, not knowing about, but knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them garbage. Praise God. I'll tell you, we've all got garbage we need to leave behind. Whatever it is that was constituted our earthly life and what we thought mattered, it's all worthless when it comes to the things of God. Praise God. He considers them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Okay? I want, now, here's his focus of it, the focus of his life. I want to know Christ. Again, we've talked this many times. I'm getting through this to get to a point. I want to know Christ. That's what salvation involves. It's not simply knowing more about him.
That's right.
It's not just getting more head knowledge. There is a very personal relationship that God wants every one of us to have where he is a real person in our lives right here, right now, not just somebody out there somewhere, but that he literally walks with us every single day, even when we don't feel it. He's there because he promised. But he says, I want to know him. The more I know the person, the more I'm going to get what this is all about. See, that's what God is looking for. He's not just looking for, okay, I'm a believer, I'm signed on the dotted line, everything's good. He wants to bring us to a place where we know him and we understand what he's doing and we participate in his purpose. I think we've used that as a title before, okay? All right, let's see. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know. Now he's going to spell that out. What does that mean? Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. This is not just knowing about the fact that, oh, wow, he was raised from the dead and death has been conquered. I want to experience that power in my life because I don't have what it takes. Anybody here got what it takes? But God wants to help us to experience the same power that brought him out of the grave so that we can actually lay hold of that every single day and live the way he wants us to live. It sounds so simple, but I'll tell you, it's a fight, isn't it? There's a war. There's an opponent in all of this, okay? But I want to know that power because there's power coming against me. I need power, and I want to experience that. And participation in his sufferings. Whoa. Now you're going to meddling here. Participation, sharing is another translation, in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul came to realize the only thing that gave Jesus power was being able to say no to human nature and yes to God. That's exactly where we find ourselves. And the more we say yes to human nature, the worse it's going to be.
Amen.
God wants to set us free from everything that we were born into Adam's family with. Okay? All right, so becoming like him in his death. Did not Jesus tell his followers the necessity of taking up your cross how often? Daily. This becomes the experience of life. And it's simply brought down to the fact that we learn how to recognize human nature and say no, but say yes to him. So it's not just, I won't do it, I won't do it. It's, yes, I will do it. I will do what he wants me to do. Okay? All right. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank God. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Again, he's not saying, I've got to hang on tight and hope that someday I'm going to be raised. No, this is absolutely, I want to experience this. I want to be able to live in victory over what I once was so that I can now live out that new life. I want resurrection life actually operating in me, not just something I believe in my head, okay? So that's what defined Paul's life. Now then he reminds us, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, okay? So Paul realizes I'm on a journey and I haven't got there yet, but this is what I'm living for. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. All right, so Christ had reached out to get a hold of Paul, but he had a purpose for doing that. Paul wanted to experience the reason that Christ did all that. Okay, He's got a plan for me, and that's the one I want. And obviously, the fact that he has to press tells us that there's opposition, something we all know. This is a world where it's force against force, and we're living in the middle of a kingdom, of a war between two kingdoms that we can't even see with our natural eyes, but it's real. And we're caught in the middle of it, all right? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, and this is getting to where I want to get to this morning. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what does a moment look like for Paul? Living in the moment. What does that mean? That means I'm here today. I can't deal with anything else but right now. And I am living between two natures. I've still got this old nature that wants to have its way. But the Lord has absolutely given me a new heart and a new life. And he wants me to learn how to live that out. So everything that I live for today is dealing with the simple issue of how do I act and how do I react? Now, who is it that lets stuff happen to us? Now, we know many times the devil is the agent, if you will. He's opposing us in every way. But could he do that if the Lord didn't authorize it? So who's the one we really need to consider when we're thinking about what happens to us every single day? Do we believe what we have said so many times, that in all things, God is at work? In all things, God is at work. What for? For our good. For our good. God has a loving purpose. So if God lets something happen in your day, other than everything, you know, butterflies flitting around and the sun shining and warm breezes and you know, all of that, all the good stuff, we like, in an earthly sense, we'd like things to happen that way. If God lets anything else happen to you that provokes your old nature, why did he do that? Why would God do something like that? But he does, doesn't he? And somehow that's for my good, not for my hurt or my harm. God wants to teach. Doesn't he want, what's the whole thing about? He wants to change us, doesn't he? To change us from what we were when he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He wants to take us from that person to a person who is able to stand before him in white, perfectly holy, separate from sin, completely delivered, ready to rule over, to have their part in the rule over a beautiful new creation.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.